Well, I'm so glad you are all here today. It's a privilege to be in the presence of God and study the Word of God. So let's go to our God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this time that you've given to us to be in your presence. We thank you that your word tells us where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in their midst. So we appreciate your presence with us. We welcome your presence with us. And we pray that your Holy Spirit, the teacher of truth, will teach us your word today, as you have intended it to be taught and applied to our lives and circumstances. We commit this study time to you, acknowledging that you have a purpose and a plan for each one of us, individually and collectively, that you want to accomplish in our lives through the study of your word. And so we pray that we will be attentive to your spirit and listen with our hearts open. We bless you and praise you, everlasting God, the God of the ages, the King of the ages. Your name be blessed and praised today, tomorrow, till the end of time. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, several years ago, a story is told about a young husband who forgot that he was married. According to the newspaper account, the day after the newlyweds returned from their honeymoon, the husband was 3 hours late getting home from the office. My question is, what happened upon his return? Well, your guess is as good as mine. Dinner was burned, and his bride was burning mad. You see, he had absent-mindedly gone to his mother's house. Now, that's a funny story. But when people who belong to the Savior suffer from a similar memory problem, is not very humorous. As we continue our study in 2 Peter, Apostle Peter is going to speak to those of us who are genuine born-again Christians that we are not what we used to be. As God's believing people, we should always keep in mind that we have been cleansed from our sins and that we have a new purpose in life. We have a new purpose in life. We who have entered into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ through faith in Him and are united to Christ need to remind ourselves continually that we belong to Him and we are to choose to live for His glory. Believer, you have been spiritually reborn into God's family. You have a new identity. And I have a new identity because of being reborn into the family of God. And you have, and I have, a new purpose in life. Failing to remember this will result in something far more serious than a burned dinner. The young man, or the young husband, forgot for 3 hours that he was married and that he had a new purpose in life, causing him a burned dinner and his bride burning mad. So believers should avoid the spiritual identity crisis of forgetting who we are and that we have a new purpose in life to live for. So this brings me to the main idea of the message God has given me from His Word to deliver to you at this critical hour in your life and my life. And please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is desirous and determined to plant the seed of God's unfailing and unchanging word in order to change believers more and more into the blessed image of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One of God and the head of the church, and to convict the unregenerate of their sin of unbelief, leading them to genuine personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the rescue for sinners and the ransom from heaven. So here then is our message in a nutshell. Would you please listen carefully to it with an open heart and an open mind? Here is the message in one sentence. A lifelong pattern of growth in Christ-like character is expected of genuine Christians and is key to a fruitful service. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ, and fellow believers in the family of God, the Bible is going to make it clear to us that this is the new purpose believers have in this life. That is the purpose of progressing in Christ-likeness and being productive in their Christian life. Do you want to live a life that is effective for Jesus Christ? If that's your desire, if that's your longing, and if that's your yearning, the yearning of your heart today, then you are at the right place, at the right time, to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 to 11. That will be our focus of study today. But for the sake of context, I will recite 2 Peter from the very first verse from the updated New American Standard Bible. So will you please listen carefully as I recite this passage from 2 Peter, beginning with the very first verse. 2 Peter is almost at the end of your Bible, so you find it there. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a bond servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. Now to our passage of study, verse 8 to 11. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain of his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. This is the word of God to the people of God. And may the Lord add his blessing on the recital of his holy word. Now we have before us a passage of scripture that can accurately be described as purposeful and promising. First of all, it is purposeful because, listen, it encourages genuine Christians to purposeful living. But you ask, how does this passage encourage true believers to purposeful living? Well, please listen. This passage is going to exhort genuine Christians to live their lives in such a way that they will be kept from being ineffective or unfruitful. Not only that,
this
2 Peter. Yeah.
Alright.
Not only that, it's going to enjoin believers to be all the more eager to make their calling and election more sure. And that, I tell you, friends, is purposeful living. You are living for the purpose for which God wants you to have life. Second, this passage is promising to us because it endears the hearts of all true believers with a great promise, listen, regarding their eternal future. Do you ever wonder what your eternal future will look like? Well, this passage is going to give you a glimpse of what is awaiting you in your eternal future. But you ask, what is that great promise given regarding the eternal future of believers? Well, please listen. It is the promise of a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know, fellow believers, the out of this world wonderful welcome party Jesus Christ has planned for the true believer who is committed to the lifelong process or pattern of growth in Christ-like character and serving his purpose in this life? My friend, the best welcome party you've received from your family, from your friends, or from fellow believers will pale in comparison to the glorious welcome awaiting the true believer in the future soon to come. So these are the reasons why our passage of study is purposeful, because it's directing us to a purpose of God as to how he wants us to live in this life. And how promising it is for you to look forward into the future to see what God has planned for your life. If you were the only person in this world, God would have planned that for you. That's how valuable you are to God, and that's how valuable I am to God. Well, having whetted your spiritual appetite, will you please now allow me to give you a brief overview of how the Holy Spirit has prepared me to present this passage of study for us from start to finish. First of all, since all believers have a new purpose in life, the Holy Spirit will be speaking to us through Peter regarding productive Christian living in verses 8 to 9. Productive Christian living. I tell you, friends, as far as God is concerned, the God who saved you, the God who saved me, the Christian life is not only to be progressive, but also productive. So we progress, but we are also, as far as God is concerned, to be what? Productive. So you progress in your Christian life as well as what? Become productive in your Christian life. So we are to progress in Christ and be productive or fruitful Christians. Will you say today that you are growing in Christ-like character and fruitful in your service for God? Because he left you here for many reasons, but the two most important reasons is for you and me to progress or to become more and more like Christ, and also to be what? Fruitful in our service for him. That's why you are here, and that's why I'm here. Second, we will discuss the pressing command given to Christians to be certain about their salvation in verse 10. The Bible is going to command genuine Christians to be all the more diligent to make their calling and election sure. In doing so, it will exhort believers of the necessity of practicing the Christ-like qualities in their lives. Why is the command to confirm our calling and election urgent? Why is the exhortation to practice Christ-like qualities in the believer's life so important? Well, these are the questions for which we will seek answers. Third and finally, we will consider the promise of a lavish welcome into Christ's eternal kingdom in verse 11. Remember, we learned earlier that God has granted to us what? His precious and magnificent promises. So that by them, you and me who believe in Jesus Christ may become what? Partakers of the divine nature. Well, we are about to discover one of those promises in our passage of study. I tell you, folks, committed Christians who, in reliance upon the Holy Spirit, constantly practice the Christ-like qualities listed for us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, will be richly provided entrance into the eternal or everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The question I need to ask, and you need to ask, is, will I be among those Christians who will be welcomed richly into the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ? So pay close attention. Well, having given you a concise overview of our passage of study, let's now dig deeper to discover the precious lessons the Holy Spirit is eager to impress upon your heart and my heart. We begin with his teaching centering on productive Christian living in verses 8 and 9. So the question I'll be asking you today at the end of our time in the Word of God is this: are you living a productive Christian life? So be thinking about that and give me your answer. More importantly, give God that answer. What does it take to live a productive or fruitful Christian life? Well, we will find out soon. Commentator William MacDonald writes on this passage these very words, these words that are very insightful. He says, quote, "There is either advance or decline in the pathway of discipleship. No standing still. You are either advancing or declining. You can't stand still as far as discipleship in Christ is concerned. There is strength and security in moving forward, danger and failure in retreat. Failure to persevere in the development of Christian character leads to barrenness, unfruitfulness, blindness, short-sightedness, and forgetfulness," end quote. Well, this is the message the Holy Spirit presented through Peter to the believers we meet in 2 Peter. And he is now presenting the same message to Christians like you and me today. He's going to show us that a lifelong pattern of growth in Christ-like character is expected of all true believers and is the key to fruitful ministry. First of all, will you please listen to what the Bible says in verse 8? What does it say there? It says, "For if these qualities are yours," whose? You and me. "If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Literally, this reads, "For these things being in you and abounding makes you not barren nor unfruitful in the full knowledge of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ." Now, when the Bible literally says, "For these things being in you," what things is it referring to? Well, the answer, the Christ-like qualities it has mentioned to us in verses 5 to 7. Namely, faith, moral excellence or virtue or goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Peter, writing by the Spirit, says, if these things be in you, they have become part of you, and abound, grow, increase, become more, become greater, or be present in abundance, or multiply in you, then they will render you neither unfruitful or useless. Not useless. There will be no barrenness in your life. So once again, we see Peter starting here with multiplication again. He's multiplying again. He's been talking about multiplication. I tell you, friends, Peter is great with mathematics. He's talked about multiplication. He's talked about addition when he says, add to your faith moral excellence or goodness. And then he'll talk to us later about subtraction when he will say, you are cleansed. In other words, sin has been removed from your life and my life. He says, if the Christ-like qualities are in you and are abounding, they will keep two things from happening in your life and my life. So the question is, what are those two things? Well, first of all, the Bible says they will keep you from being useless. Now, how many of you here want your life to be described as useless? Nobody who lives on this life wants to live a life that is completely useless. I know sometimes people will insult you. You are useless. And sometimes, I don't know what to say about that. But as far as God is concerned, He doesn't want your life and my life to be useless. So He says, the first thing, if you have these qualities and they are increasing in you, they will keep you from being useless in the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, friends, your Christian knowledge should affect the way you live. And my Christian knowledge should affect the way I live. The word translated useless is agos. It also means idle, ineffective, lazy, unemployed, unproductive, barren. It is to be inactive, indolent. So this is a very strong word God led Peter to use. The Bible says, with the Christ-like virtues or qualities, beginning with faith and ending with love, increasing in your life or my life, you, a Christian, will not be useless or ineffective or barren. God wants all true believers to live a productive Christian life. Now you say, why is that important to God? Why is it important to God to tell us we have to live, or he's telling us to live a productive, a fruitful Christian life? Why is it important to God? Why doesn't he let us just live the way we please? Well, please listen. First of all, it's important to God because he knows what's best for the believer in Jesus Christ. So that is why he's telling us he wants us to live what? Productive Christian life. His ultimate desire for you is to be a productive Christian, not one that is barren, whose life is ineffective or useless. Second, when these Christ-like qualities are not present in your life as a believer in Jesus, you will be indistinguishable from an unbeliever or a superficial believer. So if I don't have these qualities of faith, of goodness, of knowledge, of self-control, of perseverance, godliness, and brotherly kindness, and of course, love being reflected in my life, how am I different from the unbeliever? How are you different from the unbeliever? But when these qualities are increasing in your life, there is the manifestation of the divine nature within you for others to see. Others will know that you are a genuine believer by the way you reflect Christ in your life, who is your Lord and Savior. So this is why productive Christian living is important to God, and it must be important to you. Please listen, failure to practice what we know, the Bible says here, leads to barrenness. In other words, inflow without outflow killed the Dead Sea. We know that the Dead Sea is dead because it gets all the water inside, but it doesn't have an outlet. So everything dies within it. So the same thing happens in a spiritual life. If you have inflow without any outflow, it kills what? Productivity in the spiritual realm as well. Commenting on barrenness, Bible teacher William MacDonald writes, shares these insightful words, and I quote him. He says, only the life lived in fellowship with God can be truly effective. The guidance of the Holy Spirit eliminates barren activity and ensures maximum efficiency. Otherwise, we are shadow boxing or sewing without thread. I really appreciate that insight, especially when he says that about the guidance of the Holy Spirit eliminating barren activity. Because there are many things when we wake up, we can do so many things. But not everything we do brings glory to God. Not everything we do brings a big smile on the face of God. Because if it's not led by the Holy Spirit, that activity will not produce the fruit that God wants in your life and my life. So that's why it is critical to listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit telling us what to do. God, you've given me life today. What do you want me to do today? How do you want me to spend this day in a way that will bless other people and bring a smile to your face? And then as you wait and listen, God will direct you. Oh, call that friend. Or pray for this person. Today, I was studying and preparing for my coming, and a lady that invited me to Kansas to speak at the prayer event, National Day of Prayer event, texted me and said, there's this other lady that I knew, they worked together, that she had a 5-hour surgery yesterday, and then today the doctors found out that she had a clot in her spinal cord. Somewhere there's a clot putting pressure on her, that her left side has lost feelings. So she said, I'm sending this to only a few people, and I want them to intercede. So as soon as I got the text, I got down on my knees, praying, asking God for intervention into this situation, because she was going to have another 4 to 5 hour surgery if that clot is still there. Well, within an hour, she texted me back and said what? They took an MRI, and the doctor said, this is weird. There's no blood clot anymore. And she texted, she said, we know it's not weird, it's God. And I texted back and said, praise the Lord, because he answered even far more than we ask him. That's how you spend your day and bear fruit for God. Well, second, if the Christ-like qualities are in you and are increasing, the Bible says they will keep you from being unfruitful or unproductive in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if a believer does not transform profession into practice, he becomes spiritually useless, unproductive, unfruitful, perverting the purpose for which he was called. Please listen, the Bible is saying knowledge of Christ is ineffective and unfruitful unless accompanied by a life that increasingly exhibits the qualities of faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If Christians possess in ever-increasing measure these qualities the Bible has just listed, they will not be ineffective or unproductive, like the false teachers we'll meet later in our study in chapter 2. So let me ask you, as I apply this to you and to myself, is your life characterized by the Christ-like qualities Peter has been telling us about in chapter 1, verse 5 to 7? Can you even mention them? If someone were to ask you, what are the Christ-like qualities listed in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, would you be able to mention them? Faith, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Is your life as a believer exhibiting these qualities, beginning with faith and ending with love, in an ever-abounding measure? Is it your ambition to have a full, fruitful, and fulfilling Christian life? If so, you are living God's purpose for your life, His purpose of living a productive Christian life. Please take note of this. progressive growth in the Christian graces is a sign of spiritual vitality and prevents sloth and unfruitfulness in the believer. Well, to further emphasize for us the importance of living a productive Christian life, the Holy Spirit directs Peter to speak about the consequences or the dangers of not demonstrating the Christ-like qualities in one's life. So this is what verse 9 is all about. Verse 9 says, "For he who lacks these qualities is what? Blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins." The Bible is saying a professing Christian who is missing the qualities mentioned in verses 5 to 7 is short-sighted even to blindness. He is left without the guiding light that the knowledge of Jesus Christ brings. This means such a professing Christian is not aware of what is central in life. He or she lacks discernment of true spiritual values. He or she is unable to discern his true or her true spiritual condition, and thus have no assurance of his or her salvation. Such a defect of spiritual vision, Peter, of course, is speaking here metaphorically, leads to forgetfulness of cleansing or purification from all sins. In other words, the truth of his redemption has lost its grip on him or her. He or she is going back in the direction from which he was or she was once rescued. That's what Peter is saying. He said, if you forget, if you are not demonstrating these qualities in your life, it's like somebody who is blind going back to the former place that he or she once was living. It's like going back to the pig's pen. If you are not demonstrating these qualities, that's how your life is portrayed. Going back as a dog returning to his vomit. Now please listen. The failure to pursue spiritual virtues produces spiritual amnesia. Such a person, unable to discern his spiritual condition, will have no confidence about his profession of faith. He may be saved and possess all the blessings of verses 3 and 4, but without the increasing measure of the Christ-like qualities in his life, he will live in doubt and fear, says Bible teacher MacArthur. So this verse 9, refers to a genuine Christian who has fallen into serious error regarding the Christian life. Friends, fellow believers in the family of Christ, may I say to us, in view of the teaching in verse 9, that it is important for you and for me to constantly rely on the Holy Spirit to remind us that you and me have been what? Purified. We have been cleansed. We have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The precious blood of Jesus Christ did that precious work in your life and my life. He's cleansed me for my sins. Because many times Satan will bombard you with your past, about what you've done wrong. And if you are not careful, you can be what? Weighed down, discouraged, depressed, to the point of saying, well, I guess God doesn't love me. God doesn't have a future for me. Because look at me. I'm full of sin. But the Bible says you have been what? Purified, cleansed, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, and I know very well, that our sins not only prevent us from having intimate and sweet fellowship with God, but they also keep us from living a productive Christian life. So that is why it is important to remember that you have been cleansed from all your sins by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and I have been cleansed by His blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes all my sins. Commenting on verse 9b, Bible commentators Hughes and Laney. Laney was my professor of biblical theology when I was in seminary. They wrote these words, and I want to share them with you. Quote, "These people," referring to the people who have forgotten, "these people have not really forgotten about their salvation, but they have forgotten the implications of past forgiveness on present behavior. They have been living as if their past forgiveness had no relationship to present holy living," end quote. So Peter says the only way believers avoid this spiritual danger is to do what? Is to increase in the Christ-like qualities, beginning with faith as the foundation and love as the crowning virtue. Actually, the Lord Jesus himself solemnly taught his disciples about productive Christian living in the upper room just before he went to the cross. He also told them the danger of not bearing fruit. And we read that in John chapter 15, verse 1 to 8. Listen to what the Bible says there. Jesus speaking to his disciples. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Then in verse 16 he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you will go and bear fruit, and that your fruit will remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you." I tell you, friends and fellow believers, a productive, fruitful, effective Christian life is dear to the heart of God, as Jesus spoke before he went to the cross. And it must be important to you and me as well. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I humbly and honestly say to you, as far as God is concerned, your life is not on the course of being productive or fruitful. Rather, it is on the course of being completely wasted as far as the things of eternal value are concerned. Why is that? Well, it's because living a life that is truly productive in the sight of Almighty God begins with what? Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus is the foundation of productive Christian living. The Lord Jesus himself said, as we just read in John, "Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing of eternal significance. But today, all that can change for you, how? Simply tell Jesus today that you are a sinner whose life is on a course of being completely wasted as far as the things of eternal value are concerned. Take Jesus at his word that he died on the cross for your sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again victoriously, triumphantly on the third day, because God accepted his sacrifice for your sins and my sins. This means no sacrifice for sin is ever needed again. It has been done. That is why Jesus said, "It is finished." Thank Jesus today for receiving the punishment you deserved to receive in order that you might be set free from God's condemnation and then be saved for eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us of your purpose that you have given us who believe in you a new purpose in life. And you are expecting every single one of us who believes in you to be fruitful in our Christian life here on earth. And I thank you for giving us all the necessary tools and resources. You've given us your word. You've given us your spirit. You've given us fellowship of Christians. And you have sustained us with your strength and power every day of our lives. You've put a desire in our hearts to love you, to follow you, to serve you. And so I pray, Father God, that your spirit will continue to move us forward in you so that we will not be declining in our discipleship with you. Thank you that you will not fail us nor forsake you, even though we have failed you many times. We bless you for being a faithful and forgiving God, a Father who loves us with unconditional, unchanging, and unending love. Now, Lord, I pronounce your blessing upon your people. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you will go and bear much fruit, and that your fruit will remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. And all God's people said, Amen.